Glory, glory, glory. Amen. Thank you, Father. Why not do something? Give a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, my. Thank you, Father. My Savior loves. My Savior lives. That's what it's all about. Doesn't matter what is going on in this crazy world that's here, because my Savior loves, my Savior lives. He's always what I need. Stand up and shout, give a shout of joy, because the battle has been won. My Savior loves. Oh, hallelujah, glory. Listen to those words, man. Penetrate your heart, penetrate your spirit. And to get the thought process back in to what this is all about. His word to strengthen us. To give us already the victory. To realize that you are walking in victory this very hour. But I've got this going on. I've got this pain. I've got this situation. You're walking in victory this very hour. Pull on it. Speak it. Encourage yourself with your own voice that He is in you, He is there with you, and He will see you through. I don't care what it is you're going through. You, I'm sure, believe that, don't you? Amen? And so why do we sit down in the doldrums? Why do we allow this stuff to hold on and just give us stuff? Well, it's because the enemy wants to, even though the enemy knows you've got victory, he's trying to tell you, you don't have victory. By speaking thoughts into your head, by saying, are you sure? Well, if it was, why are you this way? If it's this way, why is it that? Well, if you're a child of God, why do you have this ache, this pain, this whatever? I say, it's because of you, devil. You made this world a fallen world. But I serve a Savior that rose out of this place. And even though we have an ache and a pain in the situation of today, my glory is not here, my glory is there in heaven. And I will have the final victory no matter what happens here on this earth. As a child of God, right? As us being children of God, we know that I will be healed here or there. And I'm going to walk that. I'm going to live that. I'm going to have to what? Confess that. Because confession is the point of all of that, is you've got to continually confess these things of what God says, who and what we are, things that He has done. And the battles that we go through in this life. I'm going to tell you what. Life is hard. I don't think, looking out over anybody here, that anybody would stand up and say, this life has been so easy. Life is full of challenges. The very getting out of bed in the morning sometimes is a challenge in itself. I don't care if it's the physical things that kind of hold us, but sometimes when we are weighted down with things of this world, it'll be a weight upon you to keep you from getting out of bed. Many people deal with depression and those things, and they can't even get out of bed. They're physically fine, but emotionally, mentally, their body is being held down by that depression within them. So it doesn't matter if it's a physical thing, an emotional thing. Guess what? It's a thing. But God sent us Jesus so that we get past that thing into a much better life of understanding that I will be with you here, and I will be with you when I call you home, and I'm going to leave you where you're at for a while, whatever that season is in all of our lives, and trust me that I'm there with you. Amen. We just, a couple weeks back, got back from the funeral with my father-in-law, who had passed at 91 years of age. Now, I'm not going to say that the last 5 or 6, maybe 7 years that he had a pristine life. He was in a nursing home. Pristine, and really couldn't function a whole lot. It's like, oh Lord, don't let me go that route. I hear these things where it's like, I want to serve you, going 100 miles an hour, Lord, and when it's time to be called home, take me home in my sleep, or whatever the case might be, or as I'm walking somewhere, just let me drop. Don't put me into that situation, because it's not pleasant to watch, and many of us have watched those situations. But I know that my father-in-law was a servant of God, him and his wife, for many years. And the things that we were able to share, the ministries that they were a part of, the things that, and they weren't, you know, raised up with a lot of money and had a lot of things. They were raised where a penny was a penny. And you don't lose a penny. You account for everything you got. You don't waste this or that. We were going down there, and a lady was on the radio down there, and they were talking about talking to people from that lived back in the 30s, the 40s, and whatnot. And she goes, I had this one lady call in, and she said that, you know, she uses the back of envelopes to write notes and take messages on. Not that that is not done much anymore today, except for those that lived back then. And so they were talking to this lady, and one of her family members of this person said, well, why do you do that? She goes, because I never have to buy a notepad. The mail just keeps sending me note paper. And I just turn it over and I write. My mother-in-law and father-in-law were like that. It was amazing the amount of prayer requests and information on the back of envelopes at their kitchen table, on their kitchen counter where their phone was at, when people would call and need prayer and want this and pray for this, and oh, I'm just having a hard time, would you play? And so my mother-in-law, she was really a prayer warrior, and then my father-in-law as well, but mother-in-law was Mary, was the one that really ministered into the lives of so many people calling in. But I'm just saying, they served God with everything. It meant a lot to them to be used by that of God. Even a short stint, about 10 years of pastorates in churches as a help or associate pastor. My father-in-law left that and went to the secular jobs because it's just the way it had to be and the way things were going. But even during that time and going down into Illinois and working for the state, they always continued to do that ministry of ministry. And then they did so much in nursing homes and retirement homes, ministering to people. And so it's just one of these things that in our lives, we have a challenge before us to minister God's word wherever he has placed you. And none of us gets a free ride on that. Nobody can go to him and God will say, well, why didn't you share during your life? Well, I'm not a pastor. I don't stand before the people. I don't think I need to do that. Yes, you do need that, because he says that we are all ministers of the gospel. And so we find encouragement in that. And we find encouragement that all of us here today are being called. Do you feel like you've been called? I hope so, because you have been called. How did you get here today? Why did you get here today? Why just show up? Why whatever the case might be? Some of us have been here for some time now, but in the very beginning, your first visit or two, you had to just show up, and sometimes it's like, I don't know, I was looking for a church, or this came across, or I was looking for this, and God showed me this, and God pointed me here. And that's being attentive to God when God is saying, go here, go there, be a help, be a support, encourage, whatever the case is, to be a part of a body that's his church, amen? This church is not anybody's church other than, guess whose? God's. And God is here, amen. And he's flowing through each of you today. I trust that. I've heard stories of people saying they just seen angels and people and, you know, in the heavenlies. And we've asked for the Holy Spirit to come. Touch our hearts. Touch the ones that need it to be touched. I do. We all need to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit every day. Every day, because we hear all kinds of things and people and prayer needs and prayer requests, and we hear a lot of sad things going on, and we don't always have that answer. But I have the answer. God. That's what helps me get through things. Does he help you get through things? I hope and I believe he does. Thank you, Lord. There's a lot of directions here. Remember I said how life happens, and we all have to deal with it. We all are dealt a deck of cards. And throughout that deck, you know, in this life, the jokers have been left in there. And so many of the other cards, of course. And so we are given a hand. Now, I don't know if that hand has been played out to us at the very conception. We could look at it many different ways. At the time of our birth, here's your cards. Now, this is not a gambling casino. This is not, you know, it's a church. But we talk about that. The world understands that when we say, you've been dealt a hand of cards, a hand of cards to deal with for your life or whatever the case might be. And it's how you play those cards. And I am not a card player. I couldn't tell you how to play poker. I don't know what blackjack is. I don't know nothing. You know, I used to do well in war. A 9 is bigger than an 8. I get that. But I know that through our life, we've got to start playing these cards. And I have to trust that those are the cards that God has given me. And I've got to trust that God is there with me. I've had some cards that have been very good. And I've had some cards that have not been good. How about you? That's just basically saying I've had some good times in my life and I've had some bad times in my life of going through things. It doesn't matter. What matters, though, is that God is still God and He still has that plan and He's still there with me, there for me, there to help me. And He's there to do that same thing for you. I came across this. This is nothing that I have conjured up and the Lord gave to me as far as going through scriptures. But looking at the areas of casting, and we've said this many times, our cares upon that of God. Amen? I mean, that's the first thing that we've got to understand to do is we've got to cast that care upon God. Because the longer you hold that care, the longer it's not going to be fulfilled or it's not going to be maybe taken care of adequately or sooner. It's going to be probably later than sooner type thing because I'm going to hold on to this. Now, we've touched upon that many, many times. But I want to, as a refresher, look at what this one article here, and this is actually coming from Kenneth Copeland and their ministries and things of five practical ways of casting your care upon Jesus. And I guess why it was kind of enlightened to me, and yes, we all sit here and we know all these scriptures, but sometimes you come across an article at the time when you need to kind of look at it, right? And whether it's out of the Bible or whether it's maybe penned by a pastor or something or some person, doesn't have to be a pastor, it's there to help us. As we go through life, life gets rough, life gets tiring, and I've said that. And there gets to be a point, even in a pastor, that you go, you know what? I'm there. I'm there. What now, God? What more, you know? How much more? And we had our golf event for the police department, which we put on every year, except last year because of COVID, but we were able to do it this year, and it was last Wednesday. And so we're out at the golf course, mini golf across from the airport. And it was just a closed course for all the officers and their families. And it was attended, but not as many as been there before. It's understandable. But I was getting stuff out of the car, and I was talking to one of our liaison officers. And it's like, well, did you get that? Well, I thought you had it. And so I looked at him, and I said, you know what? Called him by his name. I said, I feel kind of lethargic. And I think he was feeling the same. It's like he's got a lot going on in his life, too, of work, you know, police officer and stuff where they're at. I said, I just feel like it came and it's here. And it's like, so what? It's here, you know. We try to get things accomplished and we had all the things lined out. And we've tried to really make it to where it's fairly streamlined. And then we've got it down to just like, let's call Marcos or somebody and say, deliver 20 pizzas. Boom, there they are. Have fun. But it's like, why make things difficult? Keep it simple, saint. Besides other things it means. But anyway, getting things simple in life. You will find that if you can do that even in your life here today, if you can keep things simple in your life here today, it'll do wonders for you. And the things that we have in life is this, that so much of life wants to keep pounding and keep adding on to your stuff to do. And so you've got to make choices. You've got to take charge of your life. You've got to take care of yourself. You've got to know when enough is enough. Because if you don't, and I think that's through that of the Holy Spirit in us, the enemy will want to keep putting more in you to do, to take care of, to do, wear you out, wear you down, get you distraught, and destroy you. And I thought, I ain't going to do that. I still got too much time with God. And so you've got to begin to look at these things, pastoring, whatever, living life, whatever. And I'm going to tell you, you need to take control of your life with that of God. Don't keep God out of it. That's you got to keep God in it. But be with that of the Holy Spirit and get this thing streamlined a little bit. I was reading some articles, and this goes back like in 2012, as far as the amount of times people are on social medias and stuff like that. And I mean, it's thousands and thousands of hours that people are on these things in a year's time. And what that is telling, that article that I was reading, or actually it was a message I had probably several years back, I shared about that. But what that's showing us is it's taking time away from God. It's taking time away from our prayer time, our Bible time, to keep looking at this Facebook. I don't have Facebook. The church doesn't have Facebook. As I told other people, I was talking to Pastor Hoblet a few weeks back, I said, all I wanted to do was just come and just preach the word, what God says to say. I didn't want to become a pastor. I didn't want to become a leader of this church. I didn't want to have all the responsibilities. I just wanted to come and stand before you and say, life is good with God. But even when you're serving God and you're in the will of Him, difficulties still come. And God says, that's okay. I'm there to help you through those things, right? Has God been there to help you through your difficulties? He has. So we get all this stress. We get all these things that get pushed upon us. So one of the things here that it speaks of, and we talk about this, take captive every thought. Maybe that's what I had to do. I had to start looking at these things that are on my mind to say, I've got to control what I'm thinking. You are responsible to control what you're thinking on. No one else, only you. You got to make a conscious effort to say, I've thought about this enough, it's enough. Or complete the thought process and get it worked. But we find that casting our cares by stop worrying the thoughts before they start. That's where we've got to be attentive to the things of God by that of the Holy Spirit to help us to be aware and to be alert to where the Lord. Have you had this happen to where you have been somehow made prepared for something to happen by that of the Holy Spirit and all of a sudden it comes about? And it's like, man, thank you, Lord, for having me ready for that. And whatever that ready is, I don't know. You have to fill in your blank. But it's been a time that He has prepared me, and then all of a sudden it's happened, and it's like, wow. So be ready before it happens. Oh, cast your cares by stopping worried thoughts before they start. 2 Corinthians 10:5 is where it says, the mind is where the battle between worry, which would be fear, and peace, could be faith, takes place. That's where this whole battle is taking place in our walk with God. Our mind. Our mind is trying to tell us you don't need God. Our mind is trying to tell us you believe in something that you don't see. How do you do that? How can you do that? How can you rest when all hell is breaking loose around you? How can you rest when the boat that you're in, the waves are going like this? Why? Because my Lord did that. Jesus, He slept through that storm. He was sleeping through the storm. His disciples had to wake Him. Hey, got a problem here. I think we're going to drown. I want to be like that of Jesus to where I can sleep during the storm. Amen? To where I'm not running to and fro. Chicken Little, this guy is falling. This guy is falling. We got to set back, take a step or two back, survey the situation with that of the eyes of God, the heart of God, the mindset of God, and with the Holy Spirit helping us through that, to say, you know what, it's not as bad as I initially thought. Now we know the enemy likes to amplify and magnify even the littlest of problems. And then if he doesn't magnify it, guess what magnifies it if it's not the enemy? Our minds. Our minds all of a sudden take this little thing, and tomorrow morning it's this. By the end of the week, it's this. And it's like, how did it get to be that big? Because our mind began to enlarge the problem rather than us preparing our mind to deal with the problem through that of having the mind of Christ to think on these things and to do these things. But it says the mind is where the battle between worry and peace takes place. Whatever you allow to captivate your mind, it will rule your life. So if you want the Word of God to reign over your thoughts, you have to do what? Resist what? The devil. Everybody say that. Resist the devil. Amen. And when he tries to plant anything contrary to it in your mind. What God puts in your mind to do, the enemy will come and try to sow discord in that to say, you can't do it, you're not wise enough, you don't know the Bible enough, you don't know enough of God, you don't have the ability, you can't speak before people, people are going to think you're crazy. All of whatever the devil can put in you to try to sow that weed around that of what God has planted in you to do. That's why in order to cast your cares, you have to stop worried thoughts before they even start. I pray, Lord God, today, right now, upon my mind and the minds that are here, the minds that may listen to this on the web, that, Father God, our minds will be prepared to stop worry at the source. And that it will not take us captive, but we will take it captive. And it will have no way to control us. Amen. Cast your cares by replacing worry with the Word. God's Word has been given to us through that of the Bible to be a help in every situation that you are going to come across in your life. Not one thing is going to happen to you that the Word of God cannot tell you or help you defeat it, get through it, win, and have victory over it. It's all here. Because God is all-knowing. He knows all the temptations that will come upon that of man and woman. He knows of the hurts and the pains and the things that we as flesh human beings will experience and suffer because of that of who? Jesus. So that he can sympathize or at least understand why we are crying out. Meditate on the Word day and night. Joshua 1:8. It says here that the next step to casting your cares on Jesus is to replace your worry with the Word. Many people want God to supernaturally remove their worry, but that is not the way to get the peace of God. Peace comes by acting on the Word that says to cast all of your worry and anxiety to Him. Replace that of worry with the thoughts of His Word. What does God say in this situation? What does God want me to do in this situation? And if at that point in time, in that situation, you're not truly at that point maybe hearing from God, sit still and listen. Don't overreact. Don't underreact. But just sit until you know that you know you've heard from that of God. Through that of reading His Word maybe on a morning hour or in the afternoon, whatever it is, and that particular verse or scripture jumps out of that page and hits your spirit, which we would call like that a rhema of the Word. The rhema just hits, and your spirit just connects to it, and all of a sudden, I have had those moments to when that has happened, it's like, yes! Yes, Lord! That's what it is right there. That's what I needed. That's what I needed to read. I read it how many times before that? But for the situation at that time, it became so alive in my spirit that it gave me that, yes, Lord, yes, it will be okay, or yes, I'm going to take it this way, or yes, this will be the way to go. But I just know that God has been there with me, and He's given me that Word to go into my spirit, amen, to help me at that time. You must replace those thoughts with the Word. In Philippians 4:8, it says to whatever think on whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of what? Good report. If there be any virtue and if there's any praise, think on these things. We need to be thinking on positive. And this is not psychotherapy to where, okay, let's just have, you know, positive thoughts. Let's get before the, do little squats and knees and all this stuff, It's not that, but it is to put your thoughts on the things of God's thoughts and upon the Word of God. And to know that as we think on these things, I'm going to tell you, well, I guess we can. That's called like a split personality or split mind, I guess. But if you're thinking on one thing very intense, it's hard for something else to come in. Now, it might try, but you got to close the door, amen? But keep your thoughts set upon high. Worship Him throughout the day. Praise Him throughout the day. I've sometimes come to myself after I've talked to somebody, and they tell me something, and I go, "Well, I will lift that up in prayer." And then I get off the phone, and I'll say, "Lord, whatever the situation is, I just ask you to be with that person, help them through whatever it is, Lord. You know, I will name it to God if it's a physical thing or whatever it is. Thank you, Lord, for being there, and I just ask you to be with, you know, Bill, and help him through this time with whatever it is." All of a sudden, I a day or two later, I'm thinking about Bill. I go, did I pray about Bill? Did I pray for Bill? And then I think back, and it's like, well, yeah, I think I did. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer takes on many different facets of things as we get into different types of prayers, for sure. But when I say to somebody, "I will pray for you," it may not mean that I'm going to come here to the altar and pray for 8 hours for that situation, but I know in my prayer life with God, and I know the God that I serve, and I know that I've heard from Him, and He hears from me, that all I've got to do is when I hang up, I can lift up a conversation to God, and I don't have to make it a whole bunch of mumbo-jumbo words and make it all rhyming. It doesn't need to be King James, there, thou, off, or, you know, hitherto, and all that. I just say, "Lord, be with during this time. And I just ask you to guide them and strengthen them. In Jesus' name, amen." There's your prayer. So a few times I would almost feel kind of like, I don't think I really gave that person my honest prayer. But if you walk every minute or hour of the day communing with God, that's your prayer time, guys. It's not, "Well, I'll pray for you when I get to my prayer closet. Oh, I'll pray for you when I get to my 8 p.m. devotionals." You can hear it, you can just lift it, and realize that a prayer has been said. But we get back to this, that we have to replace those thoughts with good thoughts and those things of God. You are the one who has control over your mind, but it's not without help, praise God. The Word says that the peace of God will garrison and mount up a guard over your heart and mind, Philippians 4:7. The greater one who dwells within you is able to help you as you are obedient to replace your worries with His Word. All here again, we're getting back to a level of obedience. We just need to be obedient to God, obedient to His Word, deal with life, and know that God's got it for you. Whatever you have to remind yourself of who you are as a child of God, I'm the head, not the tail. Greater is He that's in me than what's going on in this world, that's the God of this world. He's promised, "Lord, you have promised that you will go before me. You have promised that you will be around me and surround me. You have promised, Lord, in your word," and I know it's in, you know, as we go through the Bible and all, but I've got a mountain. Anybody got a mountain? Anybody got a valley? In His word, He tells us that He will lower and raise and straighten whatever it is that's going on in your life. You know? Well, we have to be obedient. We need to be receptive of Him. We've got to be in contact with Him every day, not just on Sunday mornings for an hour and a half or an hour and 20 minutes. You've got to have a relationship with Him, God, through that of Jesus Christ, and it really helps to be Spirit-filled, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, lead you, guide you, communicate to you, and it doesn't, and it's always helpful too for that to, for the Lord to drop in a little joy and laughter into some of those times. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. But realize that you control, just like I control what this phone does, I can control what the computer does, I can control what the TV is doing by one little thing. It's off. So what happens here, every time that a situation arises, be armed and ready with a response with God's Word, what God has put into you. And it could be because of that of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit will bring back that verse, bring back that word, bring back that encouragement, bring back that psalm, bring back that proverb, bring back that in Chronicles or John, whatever it is that you've read, and it's down, it's somewhere in your makeup. I have a hard time at times trying to remember all of that stuff, but it seems like all of a sudden when I need to pull upon it, all of a sudden it comes to that point of it's a Tim paraphrase, but the gist of that is what God's Word said, what it is for a situation for my life and the things that I'm going through. So every time a situation arises, be armed and ready with a response from God's Word. God's Word always has an answer to any problem or any situation. Again, it gets back to that of our meditating on His Word, meditating with Him, being in His presence. Don't go anywhere without Him. Amen? Invite Him along. Hey, even when you get ready to go to church on Sunday, hey, God, come with me. I'm going to church. You know, talk to me. Speak to me. Help me. Oh, Father. The more time that you spend meditating with God on His Word, the quicker that you will be with your response to that of the devil. Just as we can look at that of the Scriptures, when Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, He was sent out into the desert and spent time to give us an example of how you do battle with the devil. You do battle with the devil with that of God's Word, and then when you've had enough of him, you say, "Get thee behind me. Get thee behind me. I'm tired of it. I ain't got time. I got my time. I want to be worshiping and praising God. I want to be receptive of what God has for me to do. I don't have time for you, devil." But the devil will always try to get on your calendar for an appointment. And then as we get into it, there's a few more areas that he went through and steps to do. But I think another strong thing to help us is that we need to have a buddy. We need to have somebody that we're close to, that we confide in. And I think one of those things, we can have it as an individual, or we can have it as a corporate body of the church. See, that's why the enemy is doing a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job of keeping people away from the church. And the devil gives these people a reason why to stay away from church, because the devil puts into these people, they're hypocrites. I got hurt by that church. I got hurt by that one. Did God hurt you? No, it was man. Well, no, they're not like that all over. You may not like the service that you got at Woodman's and the way you were treated. Does that mean you will no longer go to a grocery store? You'll probably go to Festival Foods. You may go to Schnucks. And see, God showed me that one time when I had a conversation with him, because I was really wondering. I said, "God," and this was when I was working with my secular job, driving around, me talking with God, "why do people do that? How is that, Lord? I feel so bad when you hear people saying, 'I've been hurt by the church, and I've given up on the church altogether.'" It's the enemy driving that wedge into that person. They just don't realize that. And I said, "Well, how's that, God?" And that's how this parable of Tim came about, when God started showing me. Just because, and I was working at Walmart at the time. He says, just because somebody got upset with Walmart, the cashier, the clerk, the store manager, whatever, and they said, "I'll never be back in and shop at this store again." He says, "Do you think they gave up shopping altogether?" No. And they still went to Shopko or Kmart or Kohl's. So if people in the human, when we think of that as how we do it, why is a person that's in the church, gets hurt by the church, says, I've wrote off all the churches, I'll never go to another church again"? The devil. The enemy, the devil, is planting those thoughts in these people. And I'm not saying every church is perfect. There is no one perfect church. Right? This is not a perfect church. But I hope we walk in love. I hope we extend forgiveness. I hope we extend a acceptance of forgiveness, and I receive that, and I love, and whatever. But it's a two-way street. We've got to work on it. This past year has been a really good thing with the COVID situation, and not just society, but within our churches, and how it's been a separation, and we've got, you know, all kinds of vaccinated, non-vaccinated, mask and non-mask, you know. It's like, we got to put all that aside, guys. Because when we look around right now with all this stuff that we just went through this past year, the enemy did a really good thing of keeping our eye off of the prize. And we put our eye up on man's ways of controlling things. I was just talking to my daughter-in-law last night. She teaches down in a district in Illinois. And she was talking, and somehow we got on to conversations about things that are being taught in our schools today. It's dangerous. But I think this past year with COVID and all that wackiness, it's taken us eyes off of things that are going on behind the scenes. And the government now has a really neat educational program that they're putting down into public schools and education. And the main thing, two areas probably that they're hitting on, this is just me that I'm throwing this out, is the history of our nation. They want to cancel anything of history and decide what we want to teach and what we should remember. Don't teach the good things of history. Teach all the bad things. Or don't remember the bad, teach the good. Well, if you don't remember history, you'll repeat it. So that's another topic. But the other area that they're really strong into, and one of the areas that we've found, and I've looked at some Christian news feeds, and she was brought this article up to me last night, and that's why it all of a sudden it kind of refreshed itself, was sex education. And how the federal government is putting sex education curriculum into the public schools, and they're wanting us to somewhat mandate this to get to general neutrality, to change the genders of these kids from boys to girls, or this is the feeling and that's a feeling. She said she had a person send her a picture that was in a book. And she goes, look at this. And these things are being taught in not high school, not middle school, not fifth grade, fourth grade, third grade, keep going lower, almost right into kindergarten, of sexual positions, what each part of the anatomy is, call it out as what it is. Self-gratification within those areas, it's okay. I mean, this is the things that are going on in our nation, and we as the church and we as the people, you know, we think COVID is going to take out a lot of lives. I'm going to tell you, the teaching of our kids, it's a mind change of changing the society. And anyway, it gets back to this. We need to pray in our churches. We need to come together in our churches to pray. We need to pray and have a prayer buddy. We need to be aware of what's going on around us. We need to be praying for this nation. And it's really the things that are not identified is what the things that we need to pray about. Because I believe it's the scheme of the enemy. It's a scheme of some of the areas of our leadership and our government in this nation to put these things in while nobody's paying attention. They got the thing over here. They got the puppet over here. COVID, COVID, COVID. Let's push in this sex education into kindergarten and all these things. Did you see that on the news where it's like in Virginia? These mothers, they came before the school board. And they said, I cannot believe that the school board or somebody in the school district allowed this district to purchase these books and have them in our schools for these kids to read in third grade, fourth grade, whatever. And it's basically like that of pornography going through a woman being assaulted or a man being assaulted or whatever the case might be. And it's graphic. It's something that back in the 70s and all that, you would have read and it would have been behind the counter of the convenience store in an adult section. And we got it out in our school systems now. And, of course, the school board goes, we don't know. And the school board's like, we didn't read that. They got people in the schools that are supposed to look at this, and teachers look at these books, and oh, they just rubber stamp it or what? I don't know. But all I know, it's happening, and that's life. And see, when I think of those things, it kind of gets me down, too, sometimes. I'm not only dealing with my own personal stuff and what I know and my life and this church and all that, but just like you, what's taking in our society? I got grandkids. You got grandkids, maybe. You got kids. We got to keep our eye on the ball, on Him. Lead us, Lord. And when we pray for our nation, reveal to us the things that are being done underhandedly. Reveal to us the lies and the deceptions that are taking place, or let those lies and deceptions be revealed in the light. Amen. Let the light of God expose the darkness that is in this nation, the darkness that is within our government, the darkness that's within our educational system, and the darkness that's even within our churches. Amen? Churches aren't immune to it, you know? Expose it, Lord. Let's put something to it. Prayer. Amen. Somehow that came off of having a faith buddy. It's like, oh, But it's encouraging one another, building another one another up. Our churches build one another up. We come together. I bet some of us probably feel pretty good that they saw somebody across from you. And it's like, because it's amazing when people are not here and I'm talking to somebody else, somebody will say, well, have you heard from so-and-so? I go, nope. No, I don't know why. I don't know. They just weren't here. I don't know. Because your appearance here, your presence is something for somebody else. Amen. We always think it's about us, but it's like, be there, be there, be there. And who knows, it might be something that that person over here has a word for you, but you weren't here 3 weeks, or whatever the case, or you weren't here for a month, and that word just went, psh. It's like, oh, when I see them next time, I'm going to, oh, they weren't there. We can't pray for one another. We can't encourage one another when not everyone is here. Just make yourself aware and make yourself, just make yourself present. I know we're present with God, but I mean present. Present! We'll have to start doing a voting or a attendance thing. Dan, present. Yes. Hallelujah! But it's all good. You know, I look at this and I'm encouraged. And anyway, let's finish this out here real quick. But encourage one another and build one another up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. But it says, if you really want to cast your cares and take a stand against worry, find a faith buddy. We need to pray with one another. We need to get together. We need to have someone. And we've got I love these two ladies here, Linda and Dawn. Is it okay that I mention your name? It's too late. I mean, they're prayer people. Bless their hearts. They will pray for the church. They will come together on their own. They will call one another. They might stop by one another. They will pray, even when the church is not having a prayer time. Linda and Don, they just get together. They have been like that for a long time. To say how encouraging that is, because, you know, prayer goes forth. We have that. Janice is a prayer warrior. I know she prays. She sent me some wonderful things. And Wayne and Julie, we are all prayer people. I'm not trying to just point out one or two, and that's all this church has. I believe everyone in here is prayer, and they pray. But I'm just saying that it's good to have a prayer buddy, isn't it? It's good to have that person you can call up and say, hey, can we just pray about this? Sometimes the church isn't, you know, you need prayer, and it's Tuesday, and the church is only on Sunday. So it's good to have that. But it is good to have that person that you can call, that they have that same faith, amen? See, and that we got to have that faith level. It's kind of hard to, if you've got this faith and they don't have hardly any faith and you're praying for things that takes faith, that this, you know, you're praying, Lord, I thank you for getting it done. This other person that your partner says, oh, Lord, I just hope you can get it done. You know, it's like, no, we got to be in agreement. God will get it done. Do it your way, God. Amen. Hallelujah. But as we go through this and as I think of life and as I sat down this yesterday and put the songs and thoughts and put this out, just that my Savior loves, my Savior lives. He's always there for me. My God, He was. My God, He is. My God, He's always going to be. And so as we go through our days and we go through situations, hold on to your God, amen? Hold on to the Creator that created this whole thing. Hold on to God. Hold on to that of Jesus Christ. Hold on to the Holy Spirit. Hold on to the Trinity, the three in one, because you're going to need one or both or three sometime. You're going to have a full team on your side. Hey! Hey, God! Hey, Jesus! Holy Spirit! Come! Come, come! And He will and they will. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence. I ask now, Lord, that you will touch the hearts, minister your word into each and every one that is here today. I pray, Lord, that yes, we see the things of today. We see what's going on. But Lord, we also know that you're right there with us. And that at the mere mention of your name, hallelujah, we can send demons fleeing. Lord, that we have that power to say, get thee behind me. We have that ability, Lord, to keep our minds upon you and to have that mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that of Jesus coming to die, to cleanse us of our sins, to reconcile us back to you. I thank you for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and teach us and me into the things of your words and your ways, into all truth. And that, Lord, we pray right now that you will expose the things in our nation from the top down, from the bottom up, whichever way you want to do it, Lord, but just expose the things in our nation that are of evil, that are being done underhanded, that are being done in the times of darkness. And Lord, I say expose it right now in Jesus' name so that we would see it, that a society will see it, and that the churches will pray, Lord, for your will and for your answer upon it. But Lord, right now, the things that are taking place in this nation for trying to change the generations and trying to control our kids and just change us, Lord, through that of education, Lord. I pray exposure in our public systems, even sometimes in the private. It happens all over, Lord. The enemy is so crafty. Oh, but you're God. Hallelujah, you're God. Nothing gets by you. And so I just pray now, expose it. Let us pray against it. And thank you for the answer to those prayers. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray these things. We come to you with victory already on our side. We come to you in the midst of a battle, but the battle has already been won in the heavenlies, Lord. So we come and we claim it and we call forth the battle. We call forth that victory for that situation in our life. The things we've dealt with for years, Lord, we claim victory and we say, Lord, come. Manifest it right now in Jesus' name. Healings, restorations of families, restoration of churches, restoration of whatever it is, Lord, but we just call it forth, Lord God. Lord, I pray as churches, as church bodies, we would keep our eyes upon you, and as churches in this community, Lord, that we would join together, Lord, as churches of one, the Church of Janesville, Lord God. And as I pray, and my fellow brothers in other churches that I've become to get well acquainted with and become very good friends with, Lord, as their churches pray, Lord, you hear the concert of prayer coming up from this area of Wisconsin to your heavenly throne, Lord God. Join us together, Lord. We pray for revival. We pray for a wave, a wind, a rain, a fire, whatever it is that you desire. It's up to you, Lord. It's you, Lord. It's you. But we just want it. We want it. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, yada, yada, shada. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, as we go out today, we're strong. As we go out today, Lord, you're with us. I pray now for this week ahead, for each and every one that is here, that no matter what the enemy has put out there to snare them or us or me, that, Lord, you will expose it, you will destroy it, you will take my path around it. Whatever the case is, Lord, it's up to you. But I'm just walking in your presence. And I ask for you to go before me. I ask by that of the Holy Spirit to prepare me. And I thank you now for that victory. In Jesus' name, amen.